with Kristen Bry. If you missed any part of today's show, you can always listen to the podcast, which you can find on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or Apple or Spotify. You're welcome to join the conversation, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We are joined by campaign veteran, Democratic strategist, friend of the show, Joe Zepecki, who joined us to make sense of it all since we just got done with the final January 6th hearing. And one of the things I typically do or have done during these hearings is have Twitter up and following the multiple journalists, strategists who live tweet and kind of make sense of it in real time for me. Because as much as Benny Thompson is riveting sometimes, having people who can translate it is important. And one of the things I realized today, for the first time out of the other 9 hearings, is that January 6th was not trending on Twitter at all. And obviously the things on your Twitter of like what's happening now are kind of curated for you, which makes me think that every time previously when it was streamed live on Twitter, the hearing itself, and today, the thing that was at the top of the What's Happening tab was NFL scores. And yeah, so that was a change.
Yeah. The way I think of that is, so sometimes you want a little more spicier salsa than Benny Thompson. Is that what I'm taking away from this?
I bet in after hours he's pretty spicy.
Just, I'm sure he is.
He has his professional side and his party side.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think everybody is supposed to, these are supposed to be tuned to our interests and to get engagement, right? So like my Twitter feed basically boils down to like 4 things: politics, sports, nerd culture, and general news, right? Like there's not a TV station in the state of Wisconsin that I don't follow for news. Mm-hmm. And so what I am just noticing is that in the past hearings, there was like literal, like the live tweeting from the journalists, because the vast majority of people that I follow are journalists. Mm-hmm. And today we're getting a mix of, you know, Home Alone, pizza orders and inflation. Here's one from a reporter about January 6th. Here's one about an announcement on Disney. So something is happening, whether mm-hmm. that's with the algorithm or if we have seen enough journalists have already left the platform or are engaging with it less for their work because of everything that is happening at Twitter, up to and including Elon Musk's decision last week to suspend without any warning journalists for doing their jobs. So clearly something, we know that things have changed with Twitter since the ownership change. But you're right to point out that this is a pretty jarring one, because we've been through this with these January 6th committee hearings a couple of different times in the not too distant future. And it is a very different world today than it was even the last time.
Well, and one of them that I usually follow is Seth Abramson. And he just said, I'm not live tweeting today. And I think he didn't even.
Oh, so there you go. So
I mean, he just said it. He's like, because that was certainly one of the ones that I have been following. And he just said, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not risking it. Please don't kick me off. And that's the amount of things that I've seen right now. Because I mean, on top of last week when the journalists who had reported on public information of Elon Musk's private jet got kicked off or suspended, some of them are back. But then yesterday, there was the announcements that if you promote other social media accounts, your Twitter account will be suspended. So journalists who have now left or are trying to do their work on different platforms are nervous about even sending people to those platforms. And because what I didn't realize, except for a text that I got from a friend while we were on air and while the podcast was happening, is in competition to the January 6th hearing today, they also dropped the next Twitter files. So that was also happening, another installment of Hunter Biden's laptop and how the FBI did or did not handle their having it. And I have not even read what it says, but that was happening in the same time that the hearings were happening. And so it's just, it's wildly disappointing because I'm like you. I was not, before I started As Goes Wisconsin, I was not a huge Twitter user. And it was in finding the niche of Wisconsin news that Twitter became more manageable, of like curating it to what I wanted to see and who I wanted to engage with. And it's wildly disappointing to think that that's going to disappear. And even with the Hive and Post News and Mastodon and stuff, like all of that just seems very daunting to recreate and find another place to curate information and to have the conversation with other journalists and Wisconsin folks of what I created there. And this just, it feels like another example of it's falling apart.
Chris and I would just say, don't cry because it's over. Cry because it happened. And I'm looking at three tweets in a row right now that are like the perfect illustration of the state of the world. We've got Snoop Dogg polling, should I run Twitter? 2.6 million votes, and he's winning 80-20. Then you've got someone who's Uncle Mom, and it says, my son got a face tattoo. Go ahead and bottle feed. It doesn't matter. And then you have
That's pretty funny, actually.
An open source intelligence. It is an open source intelligence agency that I follow, Intel Doge, saying the House committee has voted to refer Donald Trump to the Department of Justice. If that's not like the world in a snapshot, I don't know what is. Twitter was a great run for a long time.
It was
Maybe
a great
if Snoop
run.
Dogg takes over, it'll but, go back.
Well, that's the thing. And like, simultaneously, TikTok is like a week away from getting banned potentially. And so the recreation of where we join each other online and get new information or share information is a revolving door. So, but I just thought that was interesting.
And you know what?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I know that for the creators out there, the end of social media would be like, it would be really, really sad and really, really hard to take. But I'm just here to tell you, if you really like detach yourself and go, would the world be a better or worse place without social media? My conclusion is it would be a better place without social media.
I push back on that only.
Hot take, I know.
No, I don't disagree with you, because I think there is plenty of studies and what social media does to our mental health, what social media does to mis and disinformation. My only argument for social media as a creative person is it lowers the barrier to entry to things that were gated and kept. And you didn't, I quit acting because I didn't want to constantly be waiting for someone to tell me that I could. Right. And I kind of missed the initial YouTube phase. Like, I was quitting acting right as YouTube became a thing. And that was kind of the first wave of people being able to take their creativity into their own hands. And it was a meritocracy. It was one of the first things that if you were good, if you were entertaining, things could go viral. You could get traction by putting your stuff out into the world and letting people share it. Like, As Goes Wisconsin would not be a thing without social media. Like, I couldn't have just moved back to Wisconsin and knocked on Journal Sentinel's door and like, hire me to do videos for you, right? And so I hear you, and I don't disagree that they're reining it in somewhat is good. And it's also one of the best ways that we've allowed creativity to flourish and not had the people at the top who are usually business people, not creatives, saying who can and who cannot make it, quote unquote. This took a turn.
that's fair. And listen, out of everything that you would, right, it's a choice. It's a judgment call. I'm not saying there, if you could snap your fingers and eliminate all social media, I'm not saying there wouldn't be a downside to it. I'm saying that the upside would outweigh the downside.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. Well, while we have you, I would love to get your thoughts on different news of the day, considering Jane and I were out all last week. But any thoughts? Because we started some of the headlines earlier today. I was first shocked when I heard that the chair Whoever holds the chair of the Wisconsin Republican Party didn't get paid until now. So we talked about that 2 weeks ago. But while we were gone, they have elected a new chair, Brian Shimane. Do you have thoughts on that move?
Yeah, so I'll provide a little historical context, which is I'm old enough and have been doing this long enough to remember when the Democratic Party of Wisconsin made paying the chair the way that it was done. And it was not without controversy mm-hmm. at that time. And frankly, I think Republicans kind of, you know, they got to pay somebody that. But here we are after 16, you know, in the last 16 statewide elections, and Democrats, or the candidates supported by Democrats, have won 13 of them, and our politics has evolved. You frankly see the Republican Party realizing, oh man, we got to figure this out and do some of this differently. So I'm not surprised by it. I'm also not worried by it. From the standpoint of winning elections, I think mm-hmm. that the Republican Party's problems run deeper than just their staff. I have certainly enjoyed watching the sniping between Tim Michaels and the Republican establishment. The Republicans are a party divided, and yeah. parties divided do not do as well politically as those that are united. And whether it's the fight over what their party infrastructure looks like, whether it is the rift between the Walker Clayfish wing and the Michaels wing of the Republican parties, who are lining up behind Dan Kelly and Judge Darrow. Darrow?
I think it's Darrow. We decided that it was Darrow.
Darrow. Okay. So the Republicans have a lot of problems. Donald Trump is one of them, right? So, like, it's great that they have finally caught up and are trying to professionalize their party. I actually hope that professionalizing their party will lead to better outcomes mm-hmm. in terms of the types of candidates they get. I know Brian Shimane. Brian's a good man. We disagree on basically everything, but we can have a disagreement agreeably. And I'm hopeful forever that the Republican Party will figure out how to extract itself from the morass of the last 6 or 7 years.
Yeah. Well, and you brought up...
But it's not going to happen overnight.
Exactly. But you brought up... I'm sure we'll have you on plenty in the next 3 months, 4 months, to talk about the Supreme Court race, because it's so important. But since we haven't talked to you, kind of... I don't know enough how this goes. In the 2020 election, were there multiple candidates going into the primary for the Supreme Court seat?
I don't think there were in 2020, but there have been competitive primaries before where you basically had it was either Dalit or Neubauer. There was a primary with an attorney very much from like the Bernie Sanders wing of the Democratic Party. So we have seen these multi-candidate party, you know, primaries before. And frankly, I'm not entirely sure that on the progressive side, you know, the two progressive mm-hmm. candidates who are running right now are Judge Janet Protasevich and Judge Everett Mitchell. I'm not sure that both of them will file nomination papers,
oh,
right?
Really?
It is within the realm of possibility. Oh, sure. That the Democrats and the progressive movement will find a way to sort of coalesce and pick a horse in the next couple of weeks. And if either one of those candidates does not turn in nomination signatures when they're due on the second or third, then they wouldn't be on the ballot.
The second or third of January?
Long ways to go. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So that's coming up fast. So we'll come back right after the holiday and know what the final horse race will be for that. Because that's fascinating to me in this very partisan but nonpartisan race, how the strategy lies there. All right. Well, Joseph Pecky, we're going to have you back in studio very soon. You always bring so much wisdom, enlightenment, history, hot takes. We appreciate you, man. And we'll see you next time.
Miss you guys. Glad you're feeling better.
Thank you. All right. We're going to take one more break. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.